Let's look in our Bibles at Jeremiah chapter 29, verse 11. Here we read the words of the Lord to the people. And he said, "For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, saith the Lord. They are thoughts of peace and not of evil, to bring you to an expected end." Have you ever thought that God perhaps was angry with you, upset with you, disgusted with you? Satan oftentimes uses the circumstances of our lives to cause us to feel that God really doesn't love us. When we're going through suffering or pain, heartache, Satan so oftentimes says, "If God really loved you, why would he allow this to happen to you? Why would he allow your world to sort of collapse around you?" If God really, and he uses oftentimes those circumstances of our life to cause us to question or to challenge God's love. And thus we think that the thoughts of God concerning us are evil. This oftentimes happens when we have failed in our Christian walk. We've been disobedient to the commands of God. We've yielded to the fleshly impulses. And there are times when we hate ourselves for the things that we have done. So disgusted with ourselves, so disappointed with ourselves. And because we find ourselves in this position of just hating the weakness of our flesh, we somehow project that over and we think, well, God must hate us too. And he must be disappointed with us or disgusted with us because of the weakness of our flesh. When our older daughter Jam was just a small little child, our only child at the time. One day she had one of those nobody loves me routines. She had been corrected for a behavior that wasn't acceptable. And so she went into that nobody loves me, you hate me kind of a thing, making us feel guilty for the correction. And we tried to assure her that we did love her, but she was certain that we didn't, and nobody loved her, nobody, not even grandma and grandpa, nobody loved her. So I thought I would pull the ultimate, and I said, "Well, now, Jesus loves you." She said, "Oh, no, he doesn't." I said, "Jan, of course he does. You know that Jesus loves you." "No, he doesn't." I said, "What makes you say that he doesn't love you?" She said, "I was looking up at a cloud and he stuck his head around the cloud and stuck his tongue out at me." And sometimes we sort of imagine that that's what the Lord is doing. He's disgusted with us. He's through with us. He's tired. He's giving up. The people that Jeremiah was writing to had real cause to believe that God perhaps was very angry with them. For you see, these people were in captivity in Babylon. They were living under very harsh and difficult surroundings. They had been taken as hostages or slaves, far away from their homeland, separated from family, separated from friends. They were there in Babylon as the consequence of their sin and rebellion against God. And there in that very difficult circumstance of this oppressive surroundings, they had cause to believe that God was through with them, that God was angry with them, that God's thoughts concerning them were evil, that he was bent upon destroying them. They were there as the result of their own sin. They had turned away from God. They had forsaken him. They had trusted in lies. They thought that this could not happen, but it has happened. And now here they are, captives in Babylon. And the prophet Jeremiah is writing to them. Now, Jeremiah's letter to them is not encouraging. There were false prophets in Babylon who were saying, rebel, you know. We will soon be going back to our homeland and just, you know, stir up strife and all. We're going to be out of here before long. And Jeremiah is writing to them and he says, look, settle down and build houses, plant gardens. You're going to be there for 70 years. And thus he is telling them that they need to seek the peace of the cities. Don't rebel, but seek the peace of the cities where you are, because it's going to be 70 years before you will be coming back to this land. Living as slaves in Babylon was not a pleasant experience. To realize that they were going to be there for 70 years did not seem like good news to them. And it caused the people to think that God was thinking nothing but evil thoughts towards them. But the message that God had for them was, thus saith the Lord, after the 70 years are accomplished at Babylon, I will visit you and perform my good word toward you in causing you to return to this place. For the Lord said, I know the thoughts that I have and that I'm thinking toward you. They are thoughts of peace and not of evil, to bring to you an expected end. This is something that is perennial. The thoughts of God towards his children are always thoughts of peace and not of evil. God does not think evil thoughts concerning you. But his thoughts are always those of peace. There are times when it is necessary that God chastise us for our own good. And it is in those times of chastisement that we always get that feeling, he doesn't love me. I can remember when I was a child, and I would do something that was an infraction of the family rules. I was guilty. I knew I was guilty. The whole family knew I was guilty. And Dad always settled things after dinner. And those were the hardest dinners I ever had to eat, knowing that after dinner I was going to have to face my dad and my brother, who had sort of a sibling rivalry, would sit at the table and he'd look and he'd snicker like, "You're going to get it," you know. And I would feel so miserable, knowing the guilt, knowing that I was wrong, knowing that I didn't have any excuse. I was caught red-handed, I'm wrong, and now I'm going to face the consequences. And my dad would take me into the bedroom alone, and he'd sit down and begin to talk to me about what I had done. He would ask the question, "Why did you do it?" I'd always give him the same answer, "I don't know." I really didn't want to confess. And then he would spank me. And I would wail, because I figured, you know, if I would wail, he would take it a little easier, which he usually did. But as he would go back out into the living room with the rest of the family, he would close the door and I would be there alone in the dark, thinking, nobody loves me. My brother's glad that I got a spanking. Nobody loves me. And then you'd have those crazy wishes. I wish I would die, and then they'd all be sorry, you know. Everybody's thinking evil thoughts of me. And it's usually during the times of chastisement that we get those feelings that nobody loves us. They're only thinking evil of us. Now, the Word of God tells us that that is not the case. The Word of God tells us that we are not to despise the chastening of the Lord. That far from the chastening of the Lord being a sign that God doesn't love us, it's really a sign that He does love us. For whom the Lord loveth, He chasteneth. Now, if you can do evil and get by with it, then you better be worried. Because that's an indication that you're not really a child of God. You see, God only punishes or corrects His children. He punishes those that are not His children, but He corrects His children. And the chastisement is for correction. Now, God's people were at this point going through a chastisement. They had turned their backs on God. They had closed their hearts to God. They had chosen a path that was leading them to destruction. And God was seeking to halt them from destroying themselves. And so He allowed the Babylonians to come, to conquer, and to take them as captives. And in this period of chastisement, they had that feeling, God hates us. God's thoughts of us are evil. And so God writes to them through the prophet and said, I know what I'm thinking of you. They are thoughts of peace. You've been fighting with God. You've been rebelling against God. And now you are suffering the consequences of that rebellion. And sin always brings its own natural consequences, which are pain and sorrow. And that is why God forbade you to do it in the first place. God knew that there are certain things that have their inevitable consequence of pain and sorrow in your life. And so God said, don't do that. Because he knows it's going to only bring sorrow. It's only going to bring pain. Now, God does not always immediately relieve us from the consequences of our actions. God said you're going to be 70 years there. You're going to have to pay the price. There is a certain consequence to what you've been doing. And so it's not going to be an immediate relief. And God doesn't always immediately relieve us from the consequences of our sinful actions. Let us say that we stole some money and we were caught. Now, the Bible says, thou shalt not steal. But we stole some money and we were caught. We were arrested. And now, as we're sitting there in that jail cell, we say, God, I'm sorry, I repent. Oh, I'm so sorry, Lord. Forgive me. Well, he will forgive you. But that doesn't mean that he's going to lay upon the judge's heart great leniency. The judge may still say 2 years in prison. There are those consequences of your actions. And God doesn't always spare you the consequence of the action, though he forgives you. There many times is a price that has to be paid. And with the children of Judah, there was that price that had to be paid. They were to be 70 years there in Babylon, but it didn't mean that God didn't forgive them or that God didn't love them or that God's thoughts towards them were that of evil and war. But his thoughts, he said, I know my thoughts, they're of peace. You are there as the consequence of what you have done, your rebellion. I didn't want you to rebel against me. And this is the consequence of rebellion. But my thoughts concerning you are those of peace. And the Lord said, not of evil. God doesn't think evil thoughts. Now what can I do to make them, you know? Even the chastening processes of God are for our own good. And there's a big difference between correction and punishment. A parent should always be interested in correcting their children, not punishing their child. If you're a child of God, he will take what means are necessary to correct you from wrong behavior, but not punish you. Punishment awaits those who continually rebel against God, who are alienated from God, who are not his children. Punishment awaits them, but correction for the child of God. Now, several years ago, as the sociologists were studying our whole prison system, and they saw really the failure of rehabilitating men in prison for life in society. So many of them who would get out of prison would so soon commit crimes and be right back in prison. That they saw that there was a failure of the prison system at rehabilitating, reforming. And so the psychologists moved in and they said, well, it's because we call them penal institutions. And we have the whole idea of punishment. Now, we need to just call them correctional institutions. And so we went through a whole change, and they were no longer called penal institutions, but correctional institutions. And we're here to correct your bad behavior. And so the whole idea became that of correction. But you see, where there is no repentance, there needs to be punishment. It is only when you have a truly repentant heart, when you're truly a child of God, that then God corrects you, not punishes you. And you should look upon it as correction rather than punishment. Now, the guys within the system, they're sharp, and they realize that these psychologists that were saying, now, what kind of a childhood did you have? Did your mother love you? And that kind of stuff. They knew what the answers the guys wanted, and they knew how to play the games, and they gave them the answers that they wanted so they could get released, you know, but there was no change in their heart. And so this whole psychology of changing from penal to correctional institutions didn't work. And we realize that a man has to be punished for his sin and realize that he's being punished for his crime. But God said, I know my thoughts towards you. They are to bring you to an expected end. Now that Hebrew word that is translated expected is one of those difficult words to translate into English. It does mean expected. It is something that you expect, but you can expect something that you don't really want. Now, when I have been bad, I was expecting a spanking, and I didn't really want that. I didn't look forward to that. But there are other things that you expect hopefully. Good. You're expecting good to come. And that is the Hebrew word. It has the idea not only of expectancy, but the expectancy of that which is good. And so it might be translated that I will bring you to a desired end, something that you're desiring, expecting with that sense of hope and desire. Now, God is always looking ahead to the end of the path, the end result. He's always interested in the eternal. And it may be necessary to bring into our lives some present discomfort in order to bring me into His eternal glory. Now, the problem with man is that we are always short-sighted. I am always thinking of my present discomfort. I don't like this. It's too hot in here. And I'm always thinking of the immediate, my present feelings, and I'm always interpreting things as I am relating right now, and I'm short-sighted. I don't look down the road to what it is doing, to the expected end, to the hoped-for end. But that's what God is always looking at, and God deals with me always with the end result in view. Because we are short-sighted, we oftentimes bring a lot of grief to ourselves by considering just the present moment, the excitement or the pleasure that we can have for the moment, and we don't think of the possible consequences. And thus we oftentimes are guilty of foolish and irrational actions because we haven't stopped to consider the consequences. I think of the remorse that is being expressed by one of the young boys who was arrested this past week in this drive-by shooting in the south part of the county where this young boy was killed. And he has expressed great remorse and to the family of the boy. Earlier in the evening, I guess there was an argument, sort of a names and all. And so these guys got together and they said, let's drive by and let's, fire some shots. Just one of those stupid, foolish, you don't think of the consequences. And so, not thinking of the possible consequences, they got in the car, they drove by the house, they fired shots at the house. And what went through the window and struck the young man, killing him. And now, the horrible consequences of that thoughtless action. As they are facing now the court system and having to pay the price for that thoughtless action, that foolish action. And so much of life we do on the spur of the moment. We don't think it through. We don't look at the possible consequences, the pain that it can bring to us. And thus the people of Judah, they had turned for pleasure. They were living after pleasure. They had forsaken God. They didn't think of the consequences of forsaking God. But now they are there suffering the consequences. The inevitable consequences of the actions. And they feel God's angry with us. God hates us. God doesn't love us. God is only thinking evil of us. And God's response to their negative thoughts is, I know what I'm thinking. I'm thinking thoughts of peace, not of evil, because I'm going to bring out of this a good ending, the expected, hoped for, desired end. God always is looking down to the end results of the experiences that he allows to come into our lives, what they are going to work out as far as the eternal is concerned. For God is interested in the eternal. Polls are always being taken. You're always reading, the Gallup poll or some poll, the Times poll, and people are always being polled on their opinion of different things, and thus they seek to get the general attitude of the public concerning certain things. Now, if they would take a poll, and the question would be, when you die, do you want to go to heaven or to hell? I imagine that the results of that poll would show overwhelmingly that when people died, they wanted to go to heaven. I think that would be the overwhelming results of such a poll. I'm sure that if we would poll this morning here in the church, we would have 100% want to go to heaven when they die. The expected end, the hoped for end, the desired end. Yet so many people, though that is what they desire, are not living the kind of a life that will guarantee their being in heaven when they die. They are more interested in their present pleasure than they are their eternal destiny. And this is where that person comes into conflict with God, because he's more interested in your eternal destiny than he is your present pleasure. God's thoughts concerning you are thoughts of peace. He wants you to spend eternity with him. And that may require you to spend some time in unpleasant situations, which you may find very uncomfortable. But God, through them, is working out eternal purposes in your life. And so Paul the Apostle said, the present sufferings, which are but for a moment, are working an exceeding eternal weight of glory. For I am convinced that the present sufferings are not worthy to be compared with the glory that's going to be revealed. And God's thoughts towards you are always of that glory that is to be revealed in His eternal kingdom with Him. God does love you. You may be going through some unpleasant experiences. That doesn't mean that God's thoughts towards you are evil. They are of peace, and He's seeking to work out His eternal plan in your life. Because to God, the most important thing is that you spend your eternity with Him. Shall we pray? Father, we thank You that Your thoughts concerning us are those of peace, those of love. As You, Lord, are working out in our lives those eternal purposes and plans. Thank You, Lord, that we are Your children. And Lord, we thank You for the correction that is oftentimes necessary. Though at the moment, Lord, it's uncomfortable, and we might find ourselves wailing because of it, but yet we know, Lord, that it is working the eternal fruit of righteousness, the peaceable fruits of righteousness for those who go through those experiences. So help us, Lord, to keep our eyes on the goal, on the eternal. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Shall we stand? As you look around at the circumstances of your life right now, it may be that you're going through some sorrow, hard places, things that you don't understand, difficulties, uncertainties. You need to look beyond them and look unto the Lord and know that He's thinking about you and that His plans for you are good and that God will bring His good out of these unfortunate circumstances. So just cling to Him. If we could see, we often say, as God does see, then all of our tears we would wipe away, our sorrows would flee. Over these present griefs we wouldn't fret. Each sorrow we would soon forget, for there are many joys that are waiting yet for you and for me. If we could see, if we could know. We often say, but God in love a veil does throw across our way. We cannot see what lies before, and so we cling to Him the more. And that's the whole idea. Just cling to Him. For He'll lead us till this life is o'er. Just trust. Just obey. Believe Him. His thoughts towards you are not evil. They are thoughts of peace, of love, to bring the expected, desirable purposes, eternal purposes, through the things that you're going through. And so may you endure hardness as a good soldier. Keep trusting in him. He's going to bring you out.